WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Monday fun day, March 13, 2017. And man, oh man, do we have a ton to get to on today's hour of sports talk. It was Selection Sunday yesterday, and we now know what the 68-team field looks like in this year's 2017 NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament. We will do our best to cover all things bracketology, and we will invite our dear friend Deshaun Tate to the show around the 1:30 mark. Tate, of course, a men's college basketball reporter, producer, and host for CBS Radio down in Atlanta. He has been one busy man. I've been following his work via social media, and the dude has been on about 20 bracketology shows since then. It's crazy. So this will be number 21 for him later on this hour. We'll break down the bracket. You'll hear his first round predictions and more. You don't want to miss that. We, of course, will also chat about the Michigan Wolverines earning an automatic bid in the tournament with, of course, a big-time Big Ten tournament run that culminated yesterday on CBS with a win over Wisconsin. John Beilein and company, what a four-day stretch. What a five-day stretch, if you want to get specific about it, right? We'll talk about the Wolverines' dream run out in Washington, D.C., and also Michigan State's Tom Izzo held a press conference after his squad watched the selection show and found out where they would be playing against who. So you'll get to hear that. Also, later on in the hour, we will invite current sports production assistant Jonathan Chun to the show, who has a very cool story centered around the Dimmer shooting facility and a group that is making it possible for those who are blind to partake in that sport. Very cool story. You don't want to miss that. And we, of course, will have weekend winners for you. We'll be taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to facebook.com/currentsports, where we are currently live streaming the show, and even tweet us at WKAR_sports or at Al Martin, WKAR. I want to hear your thoughts on the NCAA tourney bracket. I want to hear your thoughts on how far you think the Wolverines and the Spartans will go as the tournament begins this week. Fun stuff, folks. A lot of tourney talk. So let's stop wasting time. Let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, the bubble talk is finally over for college basketball fans in Michigan. Both the Michigan Wolverines and the Michigan State Spartans are in the field of 68 for this year's NCAA tourney. After ending their historic week as champions of the Big Ten tournament, the Wolverines come into the tourney as a 7 seed in the Midwest region. They'll face Oklahoma State in the first round. How about that? 10 seed Oklahoma State with a likely matchup against Louisville, if, of course, Louisville is able to advance. Now, Tom Izzo and the Spartans are once again dancing in March, marking 20 consecutive seasons that they've made the tournament. MSU was placed as a 9 seed in the Midwest region, set to take on Miami late Friday night. If Michigan State were to advance, they'd likely have Kansas lurking in the next game. That's right, a number one seed team in the Jayhawks. Going to be a tall order for Tom and company to get out of the first weekend. We'll have more chatter on the tourney in just a moment, and you can't forget about the ladies, right? With the men's tourney announced last night, Michigan State Women's Hoops has to wait until tonight to find out their tournament destiny. The selection show for the women's basketball bracket airs tonight on ESPN at 7 p.m. after finishing the 21 and 11 season that they had, and picking up two more victories in the Big Ten tournament, the Spartans are expected to land somewhere in the 7 seed to 10 seed range. So we will have a report actually airing after the selection show. Later on tonight, I will be at the selection show party. I don't know if we could call it a party, just a gathering that Susie Merchant and her team will have at the Breslin later on tonight. So keep it locked to Facebook.com/currentsports for that coverage. After starting the season 9-1, Michigan State baseball fell back to earth this weekend with three straight losses to the 9th and 10th ranked teams in the country. Following a loss to Clemson last Wednesday, the Spartans dropped two more games to South Carolina before Sunday's game was canceled. Michigan State softball also suffered a few losses on the weekend. After beating East Tennessee State to kick off the weekend, the Spartans dropped three straight games to Kennesaw State and Tennessee Tech. MSU is now 15-7 this season, as Big Ten play is now less than 2 weeks away. Moving on to college hockey, Michigan State's season to forget is almost over. The Spartans wrapped up the regular season over the weekend, losing 4-0 to fifth-ranked Minnesota on Friday before skating to a 1-1 tie on Saturday. MSU did win the shootout in that game, offering some glimmer of hope as the team heads into the Big Ten tournament at the Joe starting this week. Michigan State will face Ohio State in the quarterfinals on Thursday, which could be good news as the Buckeyes were one of the six teams that Michigan State was able to beat this year. Boys high school basketball got the spotlight on Friday night with the district finals taking place all over the state. In some local scores, East Lansing beat Everett at Don Johnson Fieldhouse 61-56 in the Class A district title. What an atmosphere at Lansing Eastern High School. Over 3,000 people at that game. What a moment. Portland defeated Ionia in the Class B district final by a score of 50-46. Olivet won their district title game over Leslie. Fowler defeated Ashley in Class D. And Lansing Christian beat Cheryl Stockwell handily in another Class D district title, and Hope defeated Mason as well, 74-44. And Williamston topping Hazlitt, 76-54, to secure its district title. And last but not least, also want to note that Galesburg Augusta outlasted Potterville in the Class C district title. So regionals for the boys will begin this week. We'll have coverage of that throughout the week as well. The Detroit Red Wings struggles continued this weekend after beating longtime rival Chicago, the Blackhawks, on Friday night at the Joe. Detroit was beaten handily on Sunday by the New York Rangers. Peter Mrazek stopped 27 shots in the 4-1 loss, with Franz Nielsen scoring the lone goal for the D. Detroit currently has the fourth worst record in the NHL. Certainly has a better shot at winning the draft lottery than making the playoffs for a 26th straight year. Yes, it's safe to say now that that streak will come to an end. Lions general manager Bob Quinn has been going to work. He continued his offensive line overhaul this weekend, bringing in longtime Packer and Michigan native TJ Lang to the Honolulu Blue. Lang signed a 3-year deal that will pay him $9.5 million per year. The move comes just a few days after the Lions made Ricky Wagner the highest paid right tackle in the league. Wagner and Lang are considered to be upgrades over the recently departed Riley Reiff and Larry Wofford. Now, in just two seasons, Bob Quinn has somehow turned the Lions O-line from a turnstile to one that TJ Lang thinks has the talent to be one of the best units in the league. Props to Quinn for building in the trenches. That is called addressing your needs. All right, absolutely love it. Bob Quinn, you're doing your thing, brother. And last but not least, one-time Michigan State quarterback Nick Foles is returning to the team that drafted him. Foles signed a 2-year deal with the Philadelphia Eagles earlier this morning. That deal is worth $11 million, which is good money for Foles, as he is expected to serve as the backup for Carson Wentz. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Go to Facebook.com/currentsports You can see my handsome face. We are live streaming the show at facebook.com/currentsports. And you can also join us via Twitter at WKAR_sports or tweet us at also my Twitter handle at Al Martin WKAR. A ton of tourney talk. I want to hear your thoughts on the Wolverines and Spartans. How far do you think those two teams can make it in this year's big dance? Call in 517-355-WKAR. Without further ado, hey, let's start the show.
Talking about how we was 40 away from being 40 away, and we walked to halftime talking about how we was 20 away. You know, they made a run, but, you know, I looked at our guys and nobody even, you know, even thought about being tired. Being tired was an option. And, you know, this feeling is surreal, man. The confetti, you know, I dreamed, I saw it already, and it's, you know, it's great to be having it in fruition.
And how about where you guys came from? There was a conversation. You wouldn't even come and play in this tournament. To think now you're going to bring that trophy back to Ann Arbor.
God is good, man. That's all I can say. And, you know, we came through had a lot of trials and tribulations. But, you know, all I can say is God is good. We're here for a reason. And, you know, I wouldn't want to do this with any of my guys. And, you know, these hats feel really good on my head, too.
Coach, you look at your senior leader here. You look at Zach Irvin. TJ, every one of these players that had such a big part in this run. What can you say about this team?
You know, these guys have been through. These seniors right now came in, and we're at a great team. And then we get injuries the next couple of years. A lot of people were doubting these guys, right? And it was all about we had some significant injuries, right? And these guys have been war horses through it all.
You know, ladies and gents, I woke up this morning, opened up my blinds, and I must say, I was in a bit of a down mood. Because I looked out, and what did I see? The white stuff, right? Snow. In March. Come on, really? I thought we were done with it. 20 degrees and snowing. Had to clean off my car, break out the scraper. I thought I was done with that. But then I thought about this. It's March Madness, baby. And I immediately perked up. Oh, you gotta love this joint. Luther Vandross singing One Shining Moment. It is played at the culmination of each and every NCAA tournament. And we now know who are the 68 teams that have made the big dance, which begins this week. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. You got to be excited, folks. Despite what's taking place here in Mid-Michigan with the snow, you have to crack a smile just knowing that the best sporting event on planet Earth begins this week. So much to talk about, so little time. We encourage you to join the chat, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Before we break down the bracket and invite Mr. Deshaun Tate to the show, men's college basketball reporter, producer, and host for CBS Radio down in Atlanta. He is certainly a busy man around this time of the year. I want to first address the Michigan Wolverines. John Beilein, what his team was able to do, becoming the lowest seeded team in the 20-year history of the Big Ten men's basketball tourney to come out with the championship. That was pretty remarkable. Of course, we profiled it on last week's show, and we told you the story. I mean, what a five-day stretch. It is one of the most compelling stories I have ever heard around this time of the year. You know, it was so windy later on in that week on Thursday. Probably the windiest day I've ever experienced here in Mid-Michigan, heck, here in the state alone. 65-mile-per-hour wind gust, right? That was a day that Michigan was supposed to take off from the airport out in Ypsilanti, Michigan, and head to Washington, D.C. in preparation for that first game against the Fighting Illini in the second round. And actually, they were scheduled to fly out Wednesday. So this took place on Wednesday of last week. So you guys know the story. It's been profiled and well documented by now, right? It was so windy that the plane couldn't take off. The plane actually skids off the runway. And the entire team, along with the cheerleaders, dancers, band, heck, Matt Shepard was on the plane as well, who's the play-by-play man for the squad. They had to all evacuate the plane. A traumatizing experience. I heard the spiel from Matt Shepard. He talked about how chaotic it was on the plane. He's sitting there trying to do game notes, and all of a sudden chaos breaks out. Kids are screaming. You've got luggage falling from the overhead compartments. His head smacked the seat in front of him. A traumatic experience. The team, John Beilein gave the team this choice. Going through something like that, you know what, guys? I'm going to leave it up to you. You have a players-only meeting. You have a team vote whether or not you want to play in this year's Big Ten tourney. The players met. They went back to Ann Arbor, which, oh, by the way, had no power. The players met, and they decided they wanted to play. There were a few on that team that said, you know what, let's rest up. Let's get ready for the tourney. Many people project that we are already in. Let's rest up. Why do we need to play in the Big Ten tourney? Majority ruled, though, and Michigan played. Heck, we saw that crazy scene in the second round against Illinois when Michigan, oh, by the way, which flew in that same morning and had to play the first game at noon, Michigan was not allowed to wear their official uniforms because there was still an investigation going on as is standard protocol as to why the plane went off the runway and did not take off. So they had to wear their practice unis. They beat Illinois, moved on, beat Purdue, moved on, and eventually you saw what happened over the weekend, right? What a five-day stretch for the Michigan Wolverines. Beating the Wisconsin Badgers at the Verizon Center in Washington, D.C., Derek Walton Jr. was named the tourney's most outstanding player, and deservedly so. What a tournament he had. It's been so cool to watch Derek's game evolve over his time as a Wolverine. And you know what's even more interesting about this story? Is that Derek Walton Jr., this came out during the broadcast with Bill Rafferty, Grant Hill, Jim Nance, and Tracy Wolfson, that Derek Walton Jr. was one of the players who voted against playing in the Big Ten tourney. How about that? This is what March is all about. That's just the appetizer before the main entree begins this week, folks. Soon after that, the selection show began on CBS, and there was no leak like it was last year. You guys remember the crazy scene last year, right? The tournament had leaked, and I remember I was covering the Big Ten tournament, and you guys remember who won it last year. Michigan State won it last year, and you know, I'm sitting here on my phone, and all of a sudden I'm seeing on Twitter before we interview Tom Izzo that the bracket had leaked, and everybody knew what the field looked like before CBS even got on the air. How embarrassing was that, right? So they took extra precaution to make sure that the bracket didn't leak this year. And this is an intriguing bracket in many ways. First off, I want to address the number one seeds here. I want to get all of this off my chest before we invite Deshaun to the show. I wasn't surprised about the number one seeds. I must be honest with you. I mean, Villanova made the strongest case for a top seed, reigning national champs, swept the Big East regular season and tournament titles, racked up an 11-2 record against the RPI top 50, including quality non-league victories over Virginia, Purdue, and Notre Dame. No brainer, right? Villanova deserved to be a number one seed. Moving along. Kansas. So Villanova's out of the East, number one team in the East. Kansas in the Midwest, who, oh, by the way, Michigan State would have to play if the Spartans can get past the U on Friday night at 9:20. But Kansas also locked up a top seed. The Jayhawks won one of the nation's two toughest leagues by a whopping four games. Top Duke and Kentucky away from Allen Fieldhouse in non-league play, and did not suffer any losses to opponents outside the top 100. It was a no-brainer also for the Jayhawks to be listed as a top seed. This is when it gets interesting. North Carolina, the top seed out of the South, right? I thought that North Carolina, the Tar Heels, were a likely top seed unless the committee took a peek at the Duke Blue Devils. Because I'm sure there were a few committee members that looked at the Duke Blue Devils and said, you know what, Duke, compelling case could be made for Coach Mike Krzyzewski and the Blue Devils. Would the committee reward Duke for the head-to-head wins? Duke topping North Carolina 2 out of 3 times. The Tar Heels, I thought they probably wouldn't fall to number 2. They won the ACC regular season title by 2 games, racked up 11 top 50 victories, including notable wins against Louisville, Florida State, Duke, Virginia, and Wisconsin. Pretty impressive there. But the question still loomed out there, should Duke be a number 1 seed after beating Notre Dame in the ACC championship tourney game? 4 wins in 4 days out in Brooklyn. That significantly bolstered the Blue Devils' resume, leaving them with 8 RPI top 25 wins and 13 RPI top 50 wins, more than any other team in the United States of America. That's impressive. And again, going back to harp on it, they did beat North Carolina 2 of 3 meetings. They suffered 8 regular season losses. That is what I think all did them in the end as to not being a number one seed. 8 regular season losses, more than any number one seed in history. And the committee looked at that and said, no. Finished 5th in the loaded ACC, 3 games behind the first place Tar Heels. So I think they got it right with sticking to their guns and saying, you know what, North Carolina deserves to be numero uno. Gonzaga, this is a team I think is the weakest out of the 4 number one seeds. I'm not sold on Gonzaga right now. I must say, I was at one point during the year. I must say that. Gonzaga is the number one seed out of the West. 32-1 over Pac-12 champion Arizona, because that was the big debate as well. Arizona, does Arizona deserve to be a number one seed? The Wildcats may play in the tougher conference, but the Zags tallied the same number of RPI top 50 wins, suffered 3 fewer losses, and defeated Arizona head-to-head on a neutral floor in December. Now, albeit, and a lot of people talk about this when bringing up that game. Oh, but hey, Arizona did not have Alonzo Trier. That was constantly brought up, right? Trier was suspended after testing positive for performance-enhancing drugs, I should say. So that was constantly brought up in that argument. Yeah, the Zags may have won that head-to-head matchup, but Arizona did not have star Alonzo Trier. I think they got it right with having Gonzaga number one as well, though. So I didn't have any quarrels or qualms with that. This was the big question, though, after the bracket was revealed. Syracuse, yes, the Orange did not make it to the NCAA tourney. And you know what I think the message is here? Hey, Boeheim, Jim, you can't schedule lollipops and rainbows in your non-conference schedule and expect to make the dance. That was the message that was sent here. I loved it. I love what Mark Hollis and the rest of the committee did here. The Orange, yeah, did have more marquee wins than many other bubble teams, having toppled Duke, Virginia, Florida State, Miami, Wake Forest. But get this, the Orange were just 2-11 away from the Carrier Dome this season. Get this, no NCAA tourney team has made the Big Dance with less than 3 wins on the road. Come on, 2-11 away from the friendly confines of the Carrier Dome? And the pair of victories, a 1-point win over middling Clemson and an overtime win over NC State, a team that fired its coach just a couple weeks later. Not impressive. Not impressive. The other blight on Syracuse's resume, it's 6 losses to teams not expected to make the NC tourney before the selection show. A list that included a dreadful 33-point drubbing from St. John's and an embarrassing loss on the road at Boston College. Yeah, that explains why the Orange had an RPI of 85, folks. Which was way higher than many other bubble teams, but still, you get my drift here. Also, I want to call out Championship Week. I thought Championship Week is a fun week. I love the, you know, a lot of people, you know, I don't put too much stock in the conference tourney like a lot of people. It's fun, though. You got to admit, it is fun, especially not more so for the bigger conferences in college basketball, but for more so the little guys. You know, that team who has absolutely no shot of making the tournament all of a sudden rallies and puts on a great, tremendous outing in the conference tourney to etch a spot in the Big Dance. Yeah. The New Orleans Privateers. Oh, Isaac, you got to be feeling good about that, man. Winning the Southland Conference Tournament with a 3-point win over Texas A&M Corpus Christi. How crazy is that? NO's first trip to the tourney since I was 6 years old back in 1996. That's what Championship Week is all about. That's what makes Championship Week so fun. Rhode Island holding off VCU to win the Atlantic 10 tournament for the first Big Dance berth since 1999. That was fun to watch. We have seen Jacksonville State, the Gamecocks, in the Ohio Valley Conference, North Kentucky, the Norse, out of the Horizon Conference, North Dakota Fighting Hawks out of the Big Sky Conference, UC Davis, the Aggies, out of the Big West Conference, and the Northwestern Wildcats in the Big Ten Conference, earning bids to their first ever NCAA tournament appearances in school history. That deserves a round of applause. That is what makes Championship Week so fun, to see teams like that make improbable runs to join the Big Dance. I love it. Brief convo about the Big Ten before I hit this first break. And I promise, Isaac, I just wanted to get this all off my chest. I know you're coming back from spring break. Just want to get this all off my chest before we hit this first break, man. The Big Ten Conference. I do want to address the Big Ten Conference. This is a conversation that I had just moments ago with current sports PA Jonathan Chun. I really believe that the selection committee, at least the majority of them, did not really watch the Big Ten Conference this year. I really do believe that. The conference probably does not have a true Final Four contender, maybe Purdue. Who knows with Purdue, though, right? Michigan now with the great outing in the Big Ten tournament, maybe they can make a crazy run, right? But really, there's no team that really stands out in this field from the Big Ten that you say, oh, that team is going to make the Final Four. No. Uh-uh. But after seeing the seeding for the conference's seven tournament teams, I really don't know if the committee watched the Big Ten like that this year. I want to start with Michigan State, the Spartans, 9-seed. I think there's a better argument. I must say, I thought the Spartans were going to be seeded later than 9, maybe 10, possibly even 11. Michigan State did nearly all of its damage at home. Lost games to two sub-100 teams, including Northeastern at home. And was outside the top 40 in both KenPom.com, that rating, which is a lot of people are big on KenPom. I like KenPom, I must say, and also the RPI. A lot of people will say that's not the profile of a 9 seed, but okay. MSU would take it. Maryland, the Terrapins won a lot of road games this year, but had just four top 50 wins against two sub-100 wins. I don't know about that. They ended the season as a number 45 team on KenPom.com. Somehow they are a number 6 seed. Sharing a line with SMU, teams like Cincinnati, also Creighton. I think that SMU, Cincinnati, and Creighton are just a cut above the Terps, in my opinion. Wisconsin, an 8 seed. In relation to how the rest of the conference is seeded, the Badgers, 12-6 in the conference, advanced to the Big Ten Championship game, won 5 top 50 games, suffered no sub-100 losses. 8 seed? I just had some questions there. I just was a bit confused there. But moving this train along, we are going to take your call centered on the NCAA bracket. Want to know your thoughts on Michigan State and Miami. Do you think that Michigan State was a 9 seed? And it's going to be a tall order. Again, Friday night on TNT, 9:20 p.m. approximately. That is when that game between the U and the Spartans will take place. If MSU wins, they will play the winner of Kansas in NC Central or UC Davis. Again, that's one of the play-in games there. Kansas is most likely going to win whatever team comes out of those two between Central and Davis. And Michigan State would have to probably play a 1 seed on Sunday. That is going to be a very tall order. But I want to get your thoughts on Michigan State. Also, Michigan, the great Big Ten tourney run that John Beilein and the Wolverines had. Remarkable, right? 7 seed, and they will play Oklahoma State, the 10 seed, in the first round on Friday. Thoughts, comments, concerns, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We are embracing the brackets. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, you will get a chance to hear from current sports engineer Isaac Constance, who is fresh off spring break from New Orleans. And we will chat bracketology with Deshaun Tate of CBS Radio down in Atlanta. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. A few comments here via our Facebook page where we are currently live streaming the show at facebook.com/currentsports. Steven DeVitri, it is Steven's birthday. How about that? Steven is turning 56 years old today. Hi, Al. It's my birthday. I'm 56. Happy birthday, Steven, and thanks so much for listening. Steven is one of our dedicated listeners. Really appreciate it. Yeah. Hand clap for Steven. Shout out to him, my man. Also, Matthew Brown. Haven't heard from Matt in a while. He says, my man, Al Martin. Jim should stop crying. I like that comment. Of course, you know, when you look at it, I won't touch it right now. I'll touch it later on in the show. But thank you for commenting, Matt. Ben Grimes, also one of our dedicated listeners. He says, hi, Al. Happy Monday. throwing it back with one shining moment. Yeah, you got to play that, right, Ben? March Madness is here, 20 consecutive years in the tournament for Michigan State. Hard to believe. Lots of memories to look back on over the last 20 seasons. Let the March Madness begin. I can't believe that Iowa and Syracuse got let out of the tournament. That just baffles me. I do, however, feel that the committee got it right this year, except for a few questionable seedings with Michigan and Minnesota. And Ben, I have to respectfully disagree with you on Syracuse. Now, I get it. I get it. When you look at, you know, Syracuse, they had a few sexy wins. Duke, Virginia, Florida State, Miami, Wake Forest. That's impressive, especially the win over Duke, I must say. But 2-11 away from home, I wasn't buying that. Also, a 33-point loss from St. John's. Terrible road loss to Boston College. If you look at the two victories that they had at home, again, Clemson and NC State, I just wasn't buying it. The Cuse did have some nice wins over some pretty good teams. But I think the message that's being sent here is a good one. You cannot just schedule a weak non-conference, win those games convincingly, and expect to make the tournament. Especially when you had a pretty subpar regular season. So I think that a message is clearly being sent here, and I had to agree with the committee with that move. Before we bring on Deshaun Tate, who's waiting patiently to break down all things bracketology, Deshaun is actually going to go through his bracket. I haven't made my bracket yet. I always wait to the last minute because I overanalyze it every single year. I'm always reading different publications, favorites, blah, blah, blah. So Deshaun is going to give us his first round picks in just a moment here. But I want to invite Isaac Constance to the show. The first time we've heard this brother's voice in more than a week, seeing as though last week, he, along with the rest of the Michigan State student body, was on spring break, and Isaac enjoyed it. Back at home in New Orleans. Isaac, how you doing, my man? Well rested? Ready to get back to it?
Yeah, exactly. Bun at the bit. But anyway, I mean,
bun at the booty bat bit. Yeah, it's Monday. See that? You took so much time off.
Popcorn, yeah. I mean, I don't know what's there. But biting at the bit to get back on the radio show. Anyway, yeah, I need some stress serum or something, though, because the thing is, this bracket, what I always do, Al, every single year, and I'm sure you do the same thing, maybe we all do, maybe it's just part of the human complex, but I always look at it, I think, okay, I know this one for a fact. I know this one for a fact. They're just about these five or six where there could be some variation, some alternatives to come into play. And besides that, I'm pretty much golden. Mm-hmm. That's never how it is. I'm always way off. I finish 50th percentile in the entire nation, but I always delude myself into thinking that, you know, there are just those few picks where I might be tripped up on. This year, out of the western region of the bracket, we'll talk about it, but where Gonzaga rules, mm-hmm. where there's Notre Dame, who I'm very uncertain about, West Virginia, also a big question mark for me. I could, and I'm not doing this, but I was having trouble not doing it, put Princeton into the Elite Eight. I think it's that much of a blow up in terms of what's going to happen in that Western region. I like Arizona a lot, mm-hmm. but for that northern section of the bracket, I'm all over the place. So I'm stressing out. It doesn't feel like a nice welcome, easy welcome back from spring break. It seems like I'm being thrown right back into the fire.
But it's fun. I must say. It is fun. It's one of my favorite times of the sporting year. There is no better sporting event than March Madness. And you look at that West region, I think that's the weakest. I think the South is the toughest. But hey, who am I to say that, right? Let's bring on a man who sleeps, breathes, eats college basketball. Mr. Deshaun Tate, men's college basketball reporter, producer, and host for CBS Radio in Atlanta. He is a native of mid-Michigan, and this brother has been so busy. I've been trying to keep track of all of the shows that he's doing to preview bracketology in this year's NCAA men's basketball tournament. Right now, we invite him to our show. This is probably his 50th interview in the span of the last 24 hours. Deshaun Tate, welcome to Current Sports. Deshaun, how you doing, man? Are you getting any rest?
51st interview, correction.
Exactly.
No, I am getting some rest. I did some TV for the first time around this time last year. And I had all kind of bags under my eyes when I went back and watched it. And it was a really bad look because I refused and turned down the whole makeup thing, still trying to get used to that.
Right.
So this time around of the year, I've actually found a little bit more of a balance and started figuring, okay, this stuff can wait. I'll probably catch up on that after I get a nap. So it's gotten a little bit better. But, yes, as you know, it's busy. Best 3 weeks in sports, and I got to keep my voice down, Al. I don't want to say that too loud because I'm down here in SEC football country. And so when people are here to be talking about March Madness, everybody's turning their nose up, and deservedly so, because the SEC in basketball is not exactly what the other conferences are, with the exception of Kentucky. So great.
Yeah, certainly. And, you know, the SEC, they rule college football, but it's a different story on the hardwood for sure. So Deshaun, I want to start this conversation by first off just asking you, did you have any quarrels or qualms with what the selection committee led by Michigan State AD, Mark Hollis, what they did with this 68-team field, which was revealed yesterday? Any problems with what the committee did?
No, not really. I know that there were some gripes about Duke not getting a number one seed, in which I thought was crazy, considering they have the preseason player, the national player of the year in Grayson Allen. That didn't work out well. And then they were preseason pick number one, and they have 8 losses under their belt, and you guys think that you deserve a number one seed because you were the first team ever in ACC conference tournament history to win 4 games in a row. So I think that's going overboard a little bit. And I understand that they did beat North Carolina, a number one seed, twice in one season. But I think that a 3 seed was probably generous and a 4 seed was probably comfortable for them. They shouldn't have any gripes about a 2. I've also heard some people talk about Michigan State, how generous it was to get a 9. I don't think there's too much of a difference between a 9 and a 10, because if you are a 10, you're going to meet a 2 seed who could be arguably a 1 seed this year. Or if you're an 8 or 9 seed, in which they're a 9 this year, and they get a win there, then you're going to play the number 1 seed who deserves to be there. So either way it goes, no matter how you slice it, dice it, shape it, mold it, I think that pretty much the selection got it right. I even heard some stuff about, well, you know, Michigan happens to be a 7 seed. They should have been higher than a 7. Well, they've got 10 losses too. They weren't going to get a 5 seed. They could have potentially gotten a 6. Not much difference between a 6 and a 7. So you know what? Everybody should be happy considering the fact that they're getting it.
Yeah, I feel like those who make that argument for Michigan, they don't look at the bigger picture here. They don't look at the regular season. It's all, we live in a sports world, as you know, Deshaun, where it's what have you done for me lately? They look at what Michigan State did in the Big Ten tourney, and they say, oh, 7 seed, are you kidding me? You got to look at the bigger picture when you evaluate team after team after team. Another big conversation was centered on Syracuse. The Orange, of course, Deshaun, leaving Syracuse out. Did you agree with that, and what kind of a message does that now send to the rest of the college basketball world?
15 losses, Al. 15 losses for a team that's coming off of the Final Four, and I'm supposed to put you in? Absolutely not.
Exactly.
I totally disagree. There's no way I can do that. And not only that, but you have the nerve to have sour grapes or whatnot about how the conference tournament should be moved from Greensboro over to New York permanently and all this kind of stuff. But you lost in the first round of your conference tournament right in your own backyard. So I don't really think that they have much of a case. They play in the toughest conference in the country, granted, and I will give you that, you know. But when you lose to Boston College and you lose to Georgia Tech, and there was another team, I think maybe Clemson or someone else that they lost to, they have some decent wins, but they've really got some bad losses. This is my thing at the end of the day. Whether you're talking about Syracuse or anybody else, Michigan State, whomever it may be, it's equal opportunity. Everybody in the country started out 0-0 record. Everybody in the country had an opportunity at going from getting in as a number one seed from the beginning of the season or just getting in general. And even more so, the way college basketball works, that it's even more generous because everybody has a chance to get in if you win your conference tournament, no matter who you are. Therefore, if you didn't get in, you can't point fingers at anybody else except for yourself, especially when you went down 15 times.
Yeah, and you know, they schedule teams like Holy Cross, Monmouth, you know, South Carolina State. I mean, Jim Boeheim does this every single year where he schedules this just terribly weak non-conference schedule. You can't do that and expect to get into the big dance, Deshaun. I also think that message was sent. I totally agree with you. We're on the same page there, my friend. So I want to ask you this, Deshaun. We really start to look at this bracket, when you and you evaluate the matchups, which teams were over or under seeded in your estimation?
Like I said, I mean, I did look at Duke. I think Duke was a little overseeded at two. I think they probably should have been a really, really good three. I'm not too mad at it. We talked about the same thing about Michigan. If Michigan could have been a six or a seven. I really think for the most part, everybody is where they're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
We will find out later who was probably put in a position where they were ranked a little bit too high or put in too much of a high seed. Maybe Florida State is overseeded, not because of their body of work and what they did throughout the course of the season, because they deserve the number three spot. But I think where you will see them fall so early, people are going to say, well, they didn't deserve it. The same way we saw, and I hate to bring this up because I know we're talking about a whole new season, but the same way that we saw Michigan State. You know, everybody said, well, Michigan State deserved to be a one seed last year. They deserved to be a one seed. Then they lose in the first round to Middle Tennessee State. And then, of course, everybody's going to say, that's the reason why they were in a number one seed. And it's easy to say that after the games are played. But for the most part, I think everybody pretty much got a fair shake. I'm not sure how I feel, though, UCLA. UCLA getting a three. I think they're a little bit more deserving as a two, considering some of the teams that they beat. But overall, I think pretty much you can't argue. Because at the end of the day, Al, let's be real. You know, regardless of where you're seated, if you do your part, do what you're supposed to do, go in there, take care of business, win games, and go on to the next round, you're going to meet up with the better competition the closer and closer we get to cutting down nets in the national championship either way. So you're going to bump into who you're supposed to.
For sure. And you evaluate, as you just touched on, Michigan State as a 9 seed taking on Miami Friday night on TNT. Michigan earlier on that day will take on Oklahoma State. Michigan is a 7 seed, Oklahoma State a 10 seed. When you assess those two teams, Deshaun, and you look at how Michigan is completely rolling right now, Big Ten Tourney Championship, Michigan State limping a bit as they approach the Big Dance, how far do you see both of those teams going?
Second round. I don't see Michigan. I know everybody's really high on Michigan because this is crazy to think of. We understand the whole airplane thing and all that kind of stuff, and I understand that. I don't think they stand a chance after that against Louisville. Well, maybe they'll stand a chance, but I still think that they'll probably lose in double digits. So to me, that equalizes the fact that they don't stand a chance in so many words. But if they go in there with the same intensity, you know, they put up a fight, it's March, anything can happen. You're kind of playing with house money in a sense. So, you know, I like to see that they win their first round game. That won't be easy, though. When you're talking about Hammonds and Phil Forte, who seems like he's been there for about 20 years, outstanding three-point shooter for the Pokies, as well as a phenomenal, phenomenal sophomore they have by the name of Juwan Evans. Looks like he has a little bit of Chris Paul in him, starting point guard for Okie State. They have a really tough matchup as well. Okie State is not just a pushover, and I think the same thing out of Miami. Miami's going to be more athletic than Michigan State, with the exception, especially when Miles Bridges is not on the floor. And let's face it, Jim Larranaga knows how to prepare for Michigan State. He knows what they can bring to the table. He knows that they're going to come ready to fight and just claw their way through a battle with Michigan State as long as they can be physical, because he knows what it takes to beat Michigan State. He was the head coach in 2006 for that George Mason team that beat Michigan State in the first round. So he knows what it takes. I like Michigan State to win, get to the second round. And from there, who knows? You know, we know it's January, February, April, May. That's typically how it goes. We'll see if it stands still.
Yeah, certainly. And, you know, if Michigan State does get past Miami, they will most likely play Kansas. It will be a rematch from a non-conference game earlier this season in which Michigan State lost. And, hey, we could possibly see a rematch of the national championship game a few years ago in which Michigan met Louisville on the big stage. And we all know how that one ended.
Good point. And yeah, even the Josh Jackson thing, you know, maybe meeting up with Josh Jackson and everything that's happened over the recruiting.
Exactly. And we and Josh Jackson going through a bit of legal trouble, but we won't bring it up right now, Deshaun. Keeping it pushing here. I want to ask, my friend, because we see it every single year. There is that team or two that makes an improbable run, that Cinderella, if you will. Do you have any Cinderellas on your bracket? And if so, who are they?
I do. That 5-12 matchup is the typical ones. I've been talking about Carolina, North Carolina, Wilmington for a really long time. I don't think Virginia scores enough. They've lost most of their better parts of the scoring with Malcolm Brogdon and Justin Anderson and some other guys in the last couple of years. So I don't think that they'll have enough. I think Wilmington is waiting and itching at the bit to kind of show that we deserve to be on a top level. They actually have the leading field goal percentage. A guy leads the field goal, leads the nation, excuse me, in field goal percentage by the name of Devontae Kaycock, 80% from the field.
What?
So,
wow.
Yes, 80% leading the nation. So
how many games has he played? Has he played the whole season?
He has played the whole season.
Wow.
He has played the whole season. Devontae Kaycock. So I do like them there in the 5-12. I like the other 5-12 on the other side. Middle Tennessee State over Minnesota. I know Minnesota's been hot, but MTSU, as everybody up there where you're at probably knows, that's really scary too. So you have a couple others sprinkled in from, you know, here and there, but I do think that those are probably the two most interesting ones, with the exception of course, Rhode Island at number 11 over Creighton, who's battling some point guard issues because Mo Watson is out.
We've never seen a one go down against a 16 seed, Deshaun. That has never happened before. Is this the year? I have to ask it.
No, I don't think so. I think, however, I think we are getting closer to seeing that, especially with seeing the two-seeded Michigan State, who was deserving of a one last year, mm-hmm. go down to a 15. I was thinking earlier in the year, if some way, somehow, Baylor can stay put and become a number one seed, and which they're not. But if they did, I thought they would have probably been the first number one seed to fall to a 16. Mm-hmm. This year, I don't think that'll happen. Gonzaga's probably as vulnerable as any of them are. But realistically speaking, no, I don't see it happening this year. But one day, it will happen, and I'm afraid we're getting much, much closer to seeing it happen.
All right, Deshaun, before we get you out of here, my friend, and we're definitely going to have you on more frequently as the tourney rolls along here, but I want you to help out our listeners with their brackets, okay? Just the first round here, just kind of go from east to midwest, then from west to the south. Who do you have winning? Just kind of go through that list real briefly.
I'm going to go Nova, Wisconsin, Wilmington, Florida, SMU, Baylor, South Carolina, Duke, Gonzaga, Northwestern, Notre Dame, West Virginia, Xavier, Florida State, VCU, Arizona, Kansas, Michigan State, Iowa State, Purdue, Rhode Island, Oregon, U of L, North Carolina, Seton, MTSU, Butler, Cincinnati, UCLA, Kentucky, and I don't know about this Dayton, Wichita State. Let's just go with Dayton for now.
Okay, gotcha. That's pretty good. Okay, we'll have an interesting conversation after these few days go by. Deshaun,
don't forget about our bet, Al Martin, famous taco
right
on the line.
I am, and that's if I believe if Florida gets out of the first weekend, right?
Correct.
Okay. Did we say first weekend or first game? I can't even remember.
First weekend. Don't try to change it.
Okay, all right, I won't.
No, first weekend. I bet that Florida won't make it out of the first weekend. So they've got to win two games in order for me to treat to some good old famous taco.
Okay. All right, man. It's still on. And briefly here, Deshaun, just a quick preview. We'll let you back this up later on this week. But who is your national champion? I'm curious.
I'm going to go with UCLA.
UCLA. You are going with UCLA to win the entire enchilada. Okay.
Indeed.
Deshaun Tate of CBS Radio down in the ATL, college basketball aficionado. Deshaun, thank you so much for your time, my friend. Great job.
Thank you, Al.
Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll have a brief chat with current sports PA Jonathan Chun and a very cool story that he has via WKAR.org live right now. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin, where we have just about 3 minutes left in the show. We've been talking bracketology all hour. I want to close out the hour, though, by also pubbing 8 new stories on our WKAR.org website. You can simply go to WKAR.org and go to the Current Sports page, where you can see new content from our current sports production assistants. And one of those outstanding stories has been written by our very own Jonathan Chun, centered on Dimmer shooting. But it's an interesting twist to that story. I'll let Jonathan explain. JT, how you doing, my man? And what is this story about? Because it immediately caught my eye once we posted it.
Yeah, so basically what the story is, the director for the Dimmer Center, Michael Glella, just kind of messing around one day on YouTube, found out that one of the world's best shooters is actually blind. So he did some more research, reached out to the guy, and he wanted to build this product. They couldn't do it at the Dimmer Center, so he reached out, handed it off over to some engineering students at MSU, and they created this product that's been tested very well, and they're hoping they can get it into the Paralympics and allow blind people to compete with that.
Very cool stuff, and we actually have a picture of the device that was created on our website right now. And it allows those who can't see to partake in this sport, which is really cool. Did you see it in use at all, JT? I'm curious.
I did watch some videos of it. They were trying to set up a demonstration, but just couldn't get it done in the given time. So, but basically what it is, the person wears a wristband that will vibrate once you get closer to the target or farther away. It'll vibrate at different intensities. And there's also headphones involved where there's actually someone giving you verbal instruction of where you're off on the target.
It's a very cool story, folks. Again, just simply go to WKAR.org, go to radio, and of course, click Current Sports, and you can check out this story written by our very own Jonathan Chun entitled Dimmer Shooting Center, MSU Students Bring New Technology to Paralympic Athletes. JT, we'll follow up on this as well, because I want to have a live interview with one of those who created this incredible device later on in the coming weeks. So
yep.
Thank you so much. Great story. Check it out, folks. Well, we unfortunately have 10 seconds left, and we have to say goodbye. We'll be back at the same time, same place on tomorrow's Current Sports. As always, be easy, people.